As we've mentioned before, we are starting Christian Aid Week, and I should have said that to you before the video. The reason I chose that particular version was that it had been a COVID special, so it was a virtual recording, and I think some of these virtual songs that are being produced are superb, how you have all these people in totally different areas. It can be anywhere in the world. They all do their bit, and it all gets put together. And I thought that was a particularly appropriate version. I'd like to thank the Christian Aid resources, for their help in the preparation for this sermon this morning. I will be mentioning about two people called Rose and Florence. I have done a bit of a flyer, if you like. It is on the font. If you want more details about it, please take a copy of it at the end of the service. Now, every spring, Linda and I, we try and plant a variety of seeds and seedlings in the garden, and we try to nurture their growth all the way through the summer. And if all goes well, then a good season of mixed salad and vegetables awaits us. And this is good. Of course it is. But it's not just eating the greens. There's much more to learn from the discipline of attentive care that monitors the growth and harvests the fruits. Now, one lesson from this basic introduction, if you like, to horticulture is that too much water can be as bad as giving plants too little. You can drown tomatoes as easily as kill them in soil that is parched and dry. And if we don't do the mix correctly all the way through, we might still get some fruits, but they can burst and they can shrivel and they can be horrible. However, if we're very successful in this, between too much or too little water, the plants will often discover the joy of just enough. And while none of this cultivation is remotely a matter of life and death for Linda and I, the garden experience reads like a mini parable of the devastating changes that are increasingly happening around the world. In places like Kenya, cultivating crops amidst extreme and erratic weather can be a matter of life and death. Too much water can sweep away the crops in torrential floods, while elsewhere, too little means the land is cracked in desperate drought. Communities such as those featured in this year's Christian Aid Week depend on reliable and regulated water supplies for their livestock, their crops, and their livelihoods. As I mentioned, on top of the font, there are some of these sheets telling the story of Kenya, of Rose and Florence. Rose, she lives in Kitui County in Kenya. And there, the chaos of climate change has absolutely devastated the growth of beans, of maize, and has left her land and her family thirsty, hungry, and very poor. There is sometimes too much. There is often too little. But rarely does it seem that there's just enough. And for Rose, one particular refrain of the Psalms of Lament might be her daily prayer. How long, O Lord? How long? How long before what we have is enough and what we have is just? How long until there is justice and enough? However, not very far away, there is a contrasting story of Florence. There, thanks to donations from supporters of Christian Aid and the work of local partners, she has built a small dam beside her farm. And that is enough to gather rains when they might otherwise overwhelm, retaining sufficient irrigation for the weeks when there isn't a cloud in the sky. And with that dependable source of water, Florence can grow tomatoes, onions, and chilies on her farm. Her family, children, can eat their own healthy vegetables. She can keep bees, and she can sell their golden honey. Florence can join her voice with the set psalm for today. She can sing a new song unto the Lord, for the God has done great things. With her, the rivers and mountains, and indeed that dam of plentiful fresh water, can sing before the Lord, who judges the world in righteousness. Surely, such a God will declare, this is justice, this is enough. This farm is just and enough, a sign of grace, an echo of God's kingdom song, finding its home upon the earth. Now, Florence's farm is an echo too of the astounding events we read in the book of Acts. Peter has had this epiphany of God's equality and inclusivity. Heaven has revealed in a dream the mind-blowing truth that Gentiles are now as welcome as Jews in the family of God. And just to underline the point, just as Peter is preaching the gift of the Holy Spirit comes upon the very people that he would have actually discounted just a few days before. These Gentiles are speaking in tongues and praising God. As the Gentiles receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Peter glimpses just how generous and hospitable it is. And in response to these events, he asks the crowd, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? In other words, can anyone deny them the opportunity of a sacrament to make an outward visible sign of this inward invisible transforming grace? For these Gentiles, as with people like Rose and Florence, the tangible presence of water makes visible the work of the Holy Spirit in their midst. It reinforces the importance of the physical, the embodied, the earthly life, blessed indeed by the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life. Perhaps the outstanding thing from this scripture today is not that the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the Gentiles, but maybe that it can be just as holy an act to drench a thirsty land with water from a dam as it is to sprinkle blessing on a baby's head at their baptism. And here is a challenge for many of us who often confine our understanding of the Holy Spirit to the boundaries of the church. But surely the Holy Spirit is at work here in this congregation. But as theologian Jürgen Moltmann says, we need to experience that the life-giving Spirit in the faith of the heart and in the society of love leads beyond the limits of the church, to the rediscovery of the same Spirit in nature, in plants, in animals, and in the ecosystems of the earth. And if that is so, then echoing Peter, how can anyone withhold the water needed for thirsty animals, crops, and people across the world? There should be enough. It ought to be just. And if not, then, Moltmann continues, people who truly affirm and love life will take up the struggle against violence and injustice because they refuse to get used to it. Where life isn't just, where there isn't enough, Christians are called to refuse to get used to it. If the water of baptism is symbolic of new life, then so too is the water behind Florence's dam. It too is a sign of the Spirit and the coming of the kingdom. For Florence and those who helped her, they defied how things were, and they refused to get used to what wasn't enough and what was simply wasn't just. They discovered the great truth of what poet Alice Walker says, that resistance can be the secret of our joy. And that secret of joy is something that Jesus plainly understood. As he stood on the threshold of great suffering, resisting the powers of betrayal and death, he finished his farewell message to his friends, saying, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My joy in you and joy complete. Jesus knew it was for the joy set before him that he despised the shame and he endured the cross. Despite the suffering of Good Friday and the silence of Holy Saturday, this is a joy that believes that Sunday and resurrection is coming. Despite the suffering of climatic chaos, and despite the silence of many in power, this is a joy that believes that the kingdom is coming, that trusts in the Spirit and works with God for change. A joy that refuses to get used to all that is not enough and all that is just, that is not just. Now, I know the complexities of issues like this can sound like a flood of impossible tasks, and how in these times we might all be experiencing a drought of encouragement. But with God, there is always more, and there's always enough. And as we begin this week for Christian Aid, the challenges, both personal and communal, local and global, are indeed great. But so too is the joy set before us. And so too is the abundance of life that is found in the Spirit. To resist injustice, to overcome poverty, to nurture creation, to act in these ways, even with small faltering steps, this is surely a sign of love, of our love for God, our love for God's people, and indeed our love for God's creation. These things are a sign of our obedience to heaven, our faithfulness to Christ, and our fellowship in the Spirit. These things are the secret of joy, and Scripture assures us that even in struggle, these commands of God will be far from burdensome. Resistance is not futile. Victory will come. That the world will have enough and the nations will finally be just. This Christian Aid Week, we can join in the struggle of communities with Rose. We can celebrate the changes in communities with Florence. If we make that choice, if we refuse to get used to the way the world is, if we commit to struggle for all it might be, for a world that is just, and an earth with enough. If we follow Jesus, if we live in the Spirit, then the kingdom will be discovered among us. If we make that choice, our joy will be complete in Christ, and Christ's joy will be complete in us. Amen.